Well, good morning. Thank you, Darren and team, for those beautiful hymns that we were singing together. And also, I was sitting this morning in the first service, and I looked up and I saw these beautiful lilies. And I would like to show our appreciation to Steve and Carol Lorenzo. They're responsible for setting up those lilies. And so let's show our appreciation for what they've done. You know, when I look at the lily, it takes me back to my childhood. I don't know anymore. It seems a lot of things take me back to my childhood. But I remember singing as a child in Sunday school a little hymn, and it went like this. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to say it. I don't want Murray leaving on me or anything, so I'm just going to say it. And it went like this. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Well, it's a long time since I sang that, but the truth of it is still true today. And that would be our prayer and desire for everyone who has come here this morning, and we're certainly glad to see you. And our prayer and desire is that you would come and that you would know the Lord Jesus, not just as a historical figure, not just as somebody that, you know, you come at Easter and you celebrate at Easter and, you know, that's sort of it. No, it's we're celebrating someone who is alive and he's living in us today if we've accepted him as Savior. And it would be our desire that if there's any here and you don't know him and you don't have a personal relationship with him, then that even today, this beautiful Easter day, that you would come to know him. Now, I have a little clip that I found, and we would like to show that to you. And so we will start with it. And Dave's going to put it on for me.
Daybreak is almost here. It's nearly Sunday. Seven 700 years ago, a man named Isaiah wrote that the Messiah would come to Israel and be rejected and killed. 400 years ago, it stopped sending prophets. Thirty-three years ago, God broke his silence and an army of angels announced the birth of the Savior. Three and a half years ago, John the Baptist called Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. 3 years ago, Jesus told Nicodemus that the Son of Man must be lifted up and that those who believe in him will have eternal life. 1 year ago, Jesus told his followers he would be killed by the Jewish leaders, but that he would rise again after 3 days. Last Sunday, Jesus rode into Jerusalem as the people shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Thursday night, Jesus was betrayed by one of his own and arrested. On Friday, the crowd shouted, "Crucify!" and the sinless Son of God was killed on a Roman cross. Jesus' disciples have been in hiding, terrified for their lives, not understanding what has happened. It's been a long 2 nights, but in a few seconds, the sun will rise.
Are you thankful that the sun has risen? Let's turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and we'll read Luke's account of the resurrection. And I'm going to put it up on the screen here for you as well. So Luke chapter 24, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood before them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." Now the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. Now, as my little title for what I would like to say today, I'm going to use this: the dawn of a new day brings new hope. For many of those who had experienced the crucifixion of Jesus of Nazareth, when they went to bed on Saturday night, they went to bed with broken hearts. They went to bed with hopes that were dashed. And for many of them, they went to bed burdened down with tremendous guilt because of how they had behaved or what they had done in the last few days. For many of them, I believe it was likely a sleepless night. They likely did a lot of tossing and turning and laying this way and laying that way, and yet their mind wouldn't allow them to go to sleep because they were tormented in their sleep. Perhaps there were some and they were having nightmares thinking about what had happened. I mean, just think of those who would have been involved. Think of Jesus' mother, Mary, as she tried to sleep that Saturday evening. You know, I think especially those of us who have children, maybe we can relate a little bit to how Mary must have felt as she watched her son die that cruel death, the death of crucifixion. You know, none of us like to see our children hurt. I was just thinking as I was sitting there and I looked down the row at Andrew and Philip, and it reminded me of a little story. One Sunday afternoon after lunch, Andrew and Philip decided they would go out and play baseball. Within about 5 minutes, they came in, and I guess Philip had been up to bat, took a mighty swing, and the bat hit Andrew in the mouth. And when Andrew came in, his teeth, two teeth, I believe, were hanging by a thread. And his mouth was bloodied. And I can guarantee you, as a father, I will never forget that day as long as I live, because none of us like to see our children suffer. Now, I know that Andrew would still tell you that it hurt, because it had to hurt. We called up Dr. DeVigi on a Sunday afternoon and took him down to the dentist, or took him to his house. And then Dr. DeVigi went to us to the office and he put the teeth in, and they've been fine. Unbelievable what God can do. Unbelievable how our bodies can heal. But those two teeth, he still got them today. And he knows how to use them too. But you know, the thing is that for Andrew, that was a hurt. But compared to what Mary saw her son go through, the suffering that he suffered at the hands of sinful men upon the cross, her heart had to be broken. And I have a feeling that she had a hard time sleeping that Saturday night. And think of his disciples. Think of Andrew and James and John and Matthew and all the disciples. And they must have been tossing and turning in their beds as they thought of how they had forsaken him. They must have been asking themselves the question, like, what was I thinking? Like, how could I do it? How could I just leave him there in his hour of need? And I was scared. I was chicken. And I ran away. And we can look back and say, hey, we'd have been running with you. But for them, do you think they might have had some guilt as they thought about their actions during the last few days? And what about Peter? Do you think Peter slept well that night? I would guess not. Peter not only forsook him, but Peter denied him. Do you think his mind might have been going back to that? Do you think Peter might have been having nightmares as he thought about his actions in the last few days? And then there were the others. There were his friends, those that he had helped. I wonder what the blind men that had received their sight, what they were thinking on Saturday night, because they all knew what had happened. What about the lepers that have been cleansed of their leprosy? And what about old Zacchaeus? I wonder what he did that Saturday night when he thought about the one that had met his need and changed his heart completely, and now he was gone. He'd been crucified. And there was the women who went to the tomb in the morning. Do you think they had an easy night on Saturday night? I don't think so. Think they were laying there thinking about what they were going to do and tossing and turning in their sleep. And we could go on and on. And think of his enemies. What do you think they were thinking that Saturday night? Little did they know that their world too was to be about turned upside down. Because you see, his enemies, they were kind of hoping to bring closure to this thing, that it would be over with. Think of old Caiaphas, the religious old guy, the old hypocrite, the old scoundrel, and his father-in-law, Annas, high priest of Israel. Scoundrels, sinners, and the whole Sanhedrin. And they're wanting closure. They're wanting an end to come to this. I wonder how Pilate slept on Saturday night. The one who had condemned an innocent man. The one who thought he could take some basin of water and wash his hands clean. And yet history tells us that Pilate went insane. And he was continually trying to wash his hands. Now whether that's true or not, I have no idea, but I could see it happening if you're in Pilate's position. And what about the soldiers, those that actually carried out the deed? What about the man or the men that had whipped him? Do you think they had a good Saturday night? Or do you think it was just another day in the job? It meant nothing to them. and the soldier that pierced his side. Do you think he slept well on Saturday night? Wonder what the centurion was thinking about. You remember the centurion? The centurion was the one that had to admit that truly this was the Son of God. That centurion, that Roman centurion, I believe we'll see him in heaven. I believe he had a change of heart. And as he watched the Lord Jesus die by crucifixion, he had never seen anything like this before. He had never heard anyone say before, I believe, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." He knew that the one that he was crucifying was no ordinary man. Well, for his enemies, their hope, as I'd mentioned, was for closure, and that was about to be destroyed. They were in for the surprise of their lives. In fact, that what they thought was bad was only going to get worse. Because the one that they thought that they had put to death, and they did put to death, in the morning the sun would rise and everything would change. And then all of a sudden they had to go back into huddle. How are we going to handle this? What are we going to do? And so they went to the soldiers that were watching the tomb. Imagine grown men armed watching the tomb of a dead man. And so they went to them and they devised another lie in order to try and make people believe that his body had been stolen by the disciples. Those men that were shaking in their boots, afraid for their lives. And yet people believed it. It's amazing what lies people will believe. And you know what? We're no different today. People are still being fed lies concerning the Lord Jesus. They're still being fed lies as far as how to get to heaven, and people will believe it. And yet God's word is so clear. Now, for his mother and his disciples and those he loved, of course, the next morning was going to bring renewed hope. Their hope was going to be restored. And you know, as I was thinking of that, I thought of, if I can just get it to come up here, I thought of a verse that we read in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. It says, "But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings." Malachi is the last prophet to be writing in the Old Testament scriptures. And he's prophesying here that the Son of Righteousness will arise. And we're so thankful this morning that that prophecy has been fulfilled and that Jesus has risen from the dead. And he has done so with healing in his wings. You know, he healed me. I'm standing before you as a living example of somebody that's been healed. I was sick as could be. In fact, I was dead. And Jesus gave me life. You see, I was dead in sin. We're all born dead and right, dead in sin. And the greatest miracle that can ever occur in your life, it's already occurred in mine. When I accepted the living Christ as my Savior, and he gave me life, and I went from being dead in my sin to being alive in Christ. I'll tell you something, my friend, there is nothing greater than that. And if you have never experienced it, it can be yours today by simply accepting the living Christ as your Savior. You know, just before I go on from Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, you often hear this verse quoted. But people fail to quote the last part of the verse. So I'm going to tell you what the last part of the verse says, and then I'll see if you can see why they don't quote it. And see if it applies to you. Because here's what it says. I'll read the whole verse. "But to you who fear my name, The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. I had to laugh when I read that. I thought people wouldn't want to really apply that last part of the verse to themselves, right? But you look it up. I'm not just making it up. It's there. Oh, well. Great thing to belong to the Lord. Right? We can still laugh. You know, sometimes people think that the life of a Christian is rather dull. I can tell you it's not. It's the best life. It's the best one of all, is to belong to the Lord. You know, I was thinking how, just to finish off, and the team is going to sing at the end. Okay, we're going to have lots of time, just so you know. But just to finish off, I was thinking how that everyone likes to get something new. Right? Would you agree with that? Like, it's nice to get new things. Some people like it better than others, but I like getting something new. As long as it doesn't cost too much, but, you know, even then, I like something new. I'm a bit of an antique collector, but I even like new antiques. Right? Like, after a while, I get tired of the old ones. And I was thinking of how, because Christ has died and Christ has risen, how that, you know, we have a lot of new things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says this. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And I was thinking how that all of these new things that we have in Christ, and I want to remind you this morning of all the new things that you have in Christ, so that when you leave here this morning, you can go out rejoicing. And if you're not rejoicing and not thankful, then you've got heart problems. But all of these new things that we have in Christ, we have to admit they begin with the new birth. Right? You remember how that Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. In other words, you must experience the spiritual birth. And if you haven't experienced a spiritual birth, then all of these other new things that I'm going to mention, you have no part in them. It all begins with salvation. It all begins with accepting Christ as Savior. And that's why we talk about it so much, because it's so important. There's nothing more important. And our prayer and our heart's desire for everyone gathered here this morning is that you would experience the new birth, that you would repent of your sin, and that you would turn to Christ and live. And so all of these new things that I'm going to mention are its result of the new birth. Now, I haven't thought of everything, and you know, you might think of other things, but we're just quickly going to go through a couple of lists here. But here's what I've got. A new friend. It's nice to have a new friend once in a while, isn't it? It's nice to have old friends. But Jesus is a new friend, and he's an old friend at the same time. But one day he wasn't my friend. Not until I accepted him as Savior, and then he became a friend. And he's like no other friend. He's one that the Bible tells us he'll stick closer to you than a brother. And I'll tell you, brothers, generally speaking, stick pretty close. You know, like I have two brothers, and we don't agree on everything. But I'll tell you, don't you say anything against them, because I'll stick up for them even if I don't agree with them, because he's my brother. But Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and he's my friend. Is he yours? But you know what? He's more than my friend. He's my master. He's the one that I serve now. You see, I used to serve sin when I was in my old nature, before I was saved. But now I have a new master, one that I serve. I'm not all that good at it at times, and I fail at times, but he is my master. I'm no longer under the power of sin, thank God. But I serve the Lord, the living Christ. And so we have a new master. Okay, now what's the next one here? Oh, a new life. know, that's great. Imagine having new life. Like to really live, to have eternal life, abundant life. And that's another thing that the Christian experiences when they accept Christ. All these things. I just couldn't believe it. There are so many new desires. You know, when a person becomes a Christian, their desires change. All of a sudden, they have a desire to read God's Word. Like, if you have a desire to study God's Word, that's not natural. That's spiritual. And it's a result of the new birth. There are people that never cracked the Bible open before they became a Christian, and now they read it every day. They study it. They think about it. They meditate on it. Why do they have that new desire? It's because of the new birth. New desires to please the Lord. New desires to be with God's people, to enjoy Christian fellowship. All of these things, they're new because of salvation. A new song. He's put a new song in our heart. You know, there are things that we sing here, and there are people that would not be able to understand how we could get so excited about it. Even if they were here this morning. And I'll tell you, I really enjoyed the singing this morning. I'm saying that honestly. Singing about the Lord. But there are others who don't know the Lord, and they think, what are you saying? What are you so happy about? What are you singing about that for? But we have a new song. We have new clothes. Oh, now I got the ladies' attention. New clothes. But you know what? When you became a Christian, you were clothed in righteousness. See, these are all spiritual things. Before, we were clothed in unrighteousness. Dirty, old, filthy rags. Now we're clothed in righteousness. New clothes. What else? Oh, and a new name. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have a new name. Now, if we belong to Christ, we're Christians. Like in God's definition of the word. Followers of Christ. Great thing to be a Christian. Quite a name to live up to, though, isn't it? Not easy sometimes. You know, I was thinking in the scriptures that one person that we read of who got a new name was Peter. Remember, Peter was called Simon. That was sort of his given name. And then when he met the Lord changed his name. He gave him a new name. He went from Simon to Peter. And Peter means a rock. But you know, throughout his life, Peter really didn't act like a rock. I mean, when the Lord Jesus was living. Right? He seemed kind of anything else but a rock. He didn't seem to have the power to live up to his name. But you know what? There came a day when Peter was given the power to live up to his name. He had new power. And that's when the Holy Spirit came and indwelt Peter. And then Peter stood up, the same one that had denied that he knew the Lord Jesus. He was afraid to tell a servant girl that he knew the Lord. He was that scared. And yet on the day of Pentecost, he stood up and he preached the gospel. And he told the crowd about the Lord, and thousands were saved. He had new power, and we have that power. And we have new hope. Are you thankful for the hope that we have? And that our hope is sure, and it's true, and it's steadfast, and it's not fake hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And so these are just 9 things that came to my mind quickly. Of all new things that I have because of the new birth. But then it gets better. Because there's new things coming. If you go to the book of Revelation, you're going to find out you're going to get a new body. Oh, that's kind of nice, isn't it? The older they get, the more you want it. And we're going to get a new name. The book of Revelation again. Another new name. God's going to give it to us. You looking forward to that? And we're going to have another new song. Song of the Redeemed. Pretty neat stuff. For those of us that are believers. And we're going to be part of the New Jerusalem. Wow, you know, I've seen some beautiful places in this world. But nothing compared to what you read of in the book of Revelation. When you read about the New Jerusalem and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. All of these things are mentioned, and we're looking forward to it. And so as we, all things new. It talks about that in the book of Revelation. You excited? Man, what we have in Christ. Because he's alive. All of these things. Wonderful. And so as you leave this morning, here's the scripture I'd like to leave with you, because I know that life can get pretty tough. You know, and sometimes, and I don't have it all that tough really, but sometimes it's so easy to get my head down. You know, and I'm worrying about this and I'm worrying about that. And, you know, I get all discouraged and I get despondent. And, you know, Ruth has to kind of, well, not literally, but give me a kick in the seat of the pants, you know, to get me to cheer up a bit because I can get down. I think it's part of my heritage to get that way. But if I would just concentrate on what I have in Christ, and so lift up your heads and keep your heads lifted up, because our redemption draws near. Jesus is coming again. That's our hope, and it's a true hope, and we're looking forward to it. So Darren, I'm going to ask you to come up and do your what you're going to sing, and then maybe you could close in prayer.